Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, July the 7th, 2015, and this is our 274 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And I want to thank James from North Wales once again. How much I appreciate you, James, for doing what you're doing, helping us support all the hours of Michael on the internet. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello, good to hear you. Nice and clean reception, digital. And before we started, I said to Michael, oh, just after we finished and I uploaded last hour, we had a 7-hour power failure. So good thing I got it loaded before the power went off. And we went through our recording with electricity. Our friend electricity.
Yeah, well, that's that illuminated the planet, you know, more than just illuminated, basically gave it its real substance. Electricity is something that I came back to from the New Jerusalem to really embrace. Prior to that was more mechanistic, you know, like high-performance engines and things like that, which, you know, were easily understood. But electronics and the mystery of the unseen that was flowing around within circuitry was a challenge to get to know. So electricity has become ubiquitous throughout the world, but yet so many of us just, you know, take it for granted that it's just part of life. But without it, what happened, Curtis? Without it, you went to a wood stove.
Oh, yeah.
It sent you back to a wood stove.
Well, I mean, that's our heating and that's our backup. But our power failure before June 30th was a 17-hour power failure, and Marcy made a couple pizzas, and before we turned the oven on to heat it up, power went off, and oh, it could be off for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Well, it was off for 17 hours that day, and we lit the wood stove to do the pizza, and they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Just right on top.
Yeah. So one of the point I'm trying to make is the idea of the entire elevation of the planet in terms of a level of technology for our, you might say, our real domain within the physical realm. And this physical realm, of course, I found out to be pretty much a important big starting point for the greater good of the universe. And without moving up in terms of civilization, we really find it more and more difficult, would have found it more and more difficult to really begin to even ascend to the higher heights and try to truly pair with the idea of divine inspiration, divine knowledge, and the divine essence of inventiveness. That's part of, you might say, the nature of the divine, is having, you know, this mind of creativity, the idea that we have a central creator, you might say, the first source and center. And for this universe, we have Christ Jesus, as the universe creator. And these things are all kind of piled into one big lump and try to make sense of it. You can focus. We end up focusing on one part or another, and then getting involved in one part or another. But for myself, I was, like I said, I was pretty much more into the mechanical side, into mechanical engineering. But at the same time, I wanted to peer into the mysteries of the universe. And one of the mysteries, of course, was the purpose of life. And thank you, Wendy, for your email to us, which we'll get into shortly. But the purpose of life includes the ascent process of ascending technologically. And that includes very much what Tesla did and what many, many other scientists did. You know, and their names are written with Volta's and Ohm's and Kirchhoff's and all these other guys, and, you know, Lenz and all their various other contributions. And then you have people who have taken credit for something they shouldn't have, but some 20-year-old guy named Marconi, who took all the inventiveness from various scientists and put it in a box and did not invent anything new, but was able to compile it in a form of a patent, which ended up becoming radio. But it was observed effects. These things are made observable through experimentation. And one of the interesting things about electricity's mysteries and the spiritual realm's mysteries are that they can be experimented with. And one of the things I often would do would be to try to use very similar concepts of experimental workings within the realm of, let's say, having a Morantio vision, one in which escapes the limits of our perspective. You know when we say, I've seen it with my own two eyes? Yeah. I saw that UFO with my own two eyes, you know. That's pretty interesting. Right. But then there's other kinds of vision that can also be verified, which is seeing it with some other eyes. Actually, not eyes at all, but they're part of us. And some of it had been described as remote viewing, which is a concept of having that remote, or being able to see ahead in time. And all of these aspects were able to be somewhat verified in a similar sense to how electricity and the phenomena of energy propagation and movement, like creating radio with communication and all the technology we're working with right now, just making this podcast, was observed in a kind of experimental sense. And I'm basically challenging everyone to say, well, let's move out in an experimental sense, but not necessarily experimenting with the physics of electricity, because much of that is already proven. And there's another whole realm which is being worked with right now, and what maybe Tesla was able to demonstrate a while back, but another realm in which we possess, which is our own realm of spiritual reality. And in that domain of reality, we look out, not only peering through my own two eyes, but having that other additional sensory ability and being able to peer out with that and see, oh, I often talk about my game that I've been playing for the past 40 years is, know where the parking space is in a full parking lot. And it's like, it's more than just seeing it. It's almost hearing it. It's like, go there. Believe me, go there. So I'm going over there. I said, there's no parking space up in here. And as I pull up, then little did I know, except if I didn't have this extra vision, you might say, a type of vision or a partnership, that car would not have been pulling out conveniently. So all I got to do is make a left or right turn right into their parking space. where others see a parking space and they're jamming up traffic with their turn signal on, waiting for that parking space because it's their own two eyes see it. And I've been playing that game successfully. And my wife is already to a point where it's, well, where's the parking in this place? And I said, okay, well, am I going, well, she's driving, and I'm going, am I going the right way? And I said, no. Oh, where did I go? And I said, go this way, go that way. And then she does. And how did you know the car was going to pull out? I said, I didn't really know. I just heard it. That's the concept that happens over and over again that extends us another dimension of reality. And this dimension of reality bears down on the higher purpose of what our consciousness is capable of and interfacing with that higher realm, and that divine voice who has another level of perspective can guide us. But also with actual vision, which can see another realm of reality. Remember, even in my fishing experience, I would be able to know where to send the boat. You got a whole ocean. You can't see the bottom until you get there with your technology, and you go miles away. And this thing points you, and this is done. Sure enough, that's where they are. You know, but these kinds of things are really all part of us gaining a higher level. Like the planet had to come up from burning, well, just relying on basically sunlight like any animal. And then when night came, you'd wait for the, you know, in the dark night, you have nothing to see. The moon would come on and you'd have a little more light. The idea, what I'm saying is that progressing past the limits of what the natural, our natural physical senses and abilities gave us, the ascent process through our own cleverness was able to cause us to escalate much, much higher. And this escalation brought us a higher level of technology and things. But prior to that, there was many those who used and operated with what I'm talking about in these higher sensory abilities. They could call their horse who was somewhere else just by not necessarily whistling, but just calling the horse. Next thing you know, the horse would be there when you need it. Was actually, a lot of times it was just a burro. It's commonly observed some at the times in, you know, South America where they would do that. And then they would, you know, let the burro go and have its way and eat the grass wherever they wanted to. But when they needed the burro to come back and get them, the burro would come. And consistently, this type of communication was something that was ordinary and that we lost. So what I'm saying is that even though we escalated technologically, maybe we shouldn't only escalate technologically, but escalate spiritually as well in the higher aspects of it, and be able to capture that ascent in the divine entanglement, you might, the divine embrace. And this moves us higher and higher, or closer and closer inward, to our more complete universal self, having a divine nature that is more complete, because even the apostles, you know, we know in part, we prophesy in part, you know, but that perfection that comes with time and pursuit, when it comes, will we be complete in Him? More and more, we need to realize that we cannot forsake those things that were developed by other races of men and other situations, and then supposedly replaced by technology. Instead, we have both in hand, hand in hand, both the spiritually engaged gifts of wisdom and insight, along with our own technologically engaged gifts of that, and putting them hand in hand, we have a more complete divine nature. And this is something that I believe we are moving to, but we could, if we're not focused right, abandon one for another. And that's been pretty much happening right now. At one time, the church tended to squelch or sublimate every kind of activity that they thought would liberate humanity through insight and inspiration, the divine source, from divine sources. And later, of course, this is not something that they're doing. Although I do feel that if they're locked into tradition, they're not going to be truly free until they make that step to accept a more complete divine nature, which includes all kinds of stuff in the realm of our lives. The dangers being that when we are warned and warned by others to move away from these things and do not, then we have, could have a collapse of our society, being promoted primarily by an artificially induced drive. That artificially induced drive, if it does not have an essence, which is basically love, then it is driven by other lower factors of motivation. And some of those are greed. And that is a factor that I remember looking into some of the concepts that were held within the Urantia book and saying there is good in profit, but profit doesn't necessarily have everything good about it. So shortcomings, and some of these shortcomings are when profit doesn't pay attention to the greater good, which would mean don't do something or redirect inventiveness or allow certain inventiveness to go forward for the greater good. And that idea of the greater good is something that is, again, a challenge, a philosophical one many times. But in any case, this is what I see. We need not to be one or the other, but really look at the realm of where we're developing here as one in which is on a higher level and higher plane of civilization, and try to move it together, not abandoning the things that are, you might say, spiritual, for things that are purely technological and easy to use. So anyway, there are other ways in which people are contacted to than, using a cell phone. So, yeah.
Something beside a cell phone.
Yeah. Right. Like I mentioned to you in a conversation earlier about a individual who was stuck in a gulch. He had a motorhome, mm-hmm. and it didn't run. But something told me to follow, to go back. Actually, I turned around. To go back and go down to where this guy was. And I thought it was just to go down there to see, maybe there was a nice campsite or some kind of a nice place to be. down this one road. Turned out this guy needed help. His car couldn't start. I don't know if I saw him go down there or I just went down there. Turned out he needed help. So there's ways in which we perceive that. And you ever, Curtis, know when some, like Marcy's coming home, you know, nobody's telling you that. Mm-hmm. You just know, okay, well, she'll be home in about a minute, because every time I get this feeling, she's home. There she is.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about, to tune into those things and don't think of them as purely circumstantial, but rely on them as real inspirations and then pick up on them as really realizing that the communication that is made at that time may not be coming to you in a audible way or a simulated language way, you know, as you can hear the simulated language in your mind, but you hear in your mind that factor, that fact that this is going to happen soon. And there's been so many times. It's gone for me to a point where it is like, I just rely on it. I just use it all the time. And I meet people before they wanted to meet me. Then there I am. I popped up. There are times in which I didn't know that they were looking for me. Then I find them, and there they are, looking for me. They made no appointment. They just hope I'm around. And I divert. I do, if I'm in something, I divert and I turn around and I go there. This type of psychic understanding is part of the realm of living, both technologically and on a spiritual level, on the other higher plane, because that is also very real. So using both of these is really kind of fulfilling much of our divine ascent experience. Because it proves one of the other factors of not only having knowledge, technological knowledge just about civilization, but also about knowledge about having a relationship with the divine fragment, the divine fractal, a thought adjuster who is in us, communicates with us across the plane of our soul, and embedding a relationship to the greater universe, even the domain, the smaller domain in which we live. So anyway, that's a little bit of the balance. And I always think about the balance, because there was this rocking horse that was given to me, a little rocking horse, wireframe rocking horse, that I was given when I left the transport, the little transport that took me to the New Jerusalem with Ted and Nella. Another human girl, she looked, she's a pretty girl. She just told me, there, this is a little memento of what, of your time, and just use it. It'll be, if it disappears, that means we've come again for something. If it appears again, you don't, when you lost it, then it also means that we've come again. And the symbology is everything in balance. So what I'm saying about the balance necessary is our modern civilized technological society using electricity is one factor, but on the other factor to balance that with is on that spiritual realm, which can also mimic much of the mysteries of electricity. And if we begin to be able to use and operate in that realm, we balance that off and we have much greater and fuller citizenship to the greater universe. And that is our developmental process in the body, in the physical realm, as we live out our lives.
Well, we received a correspondence from Wendy in New Zealand.
Yeah, Wendy.
She writes, Divine Purpose is the subject. And she says, Dear gents, I trust this finds you and all of those participating in this platform well. In casual discussion with friends and family, I often ask the question, Do you believe there is purpose to life? And if so, what may it be? Many find this a strange question, and I've even had people say that they do not believe there is purpose beyond this life and desire no further discussion on the topic. Wendy, you're like me. You ask questions and people don't even want to talk. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like, oh, I have to think. You know, you're making me think. You know? But anyway, Wendy goes on. She says, second paragraph. The indwelling presence of the Father, the Urantia book, Michael's recollection of his own experience to the New Jerusalem, and the Sharon's continued teaching have broadened my own understanding of my divine purpose and destiny. For this, I am infinitely grateful. I recently came across a passage that made me stop and think about the experience of sharing the Father's paradise perfection. And this single line paragraph, she says, Could the Sharon please expand on the following? And this paragraph is from the Urantia book, paper 2. God's primal perfection consists not in an assumed righteousness, but rather in the inherent perfection of the goodness of his divine nature. He is final, complete, and perfect. There is nothing lacking in the beauty and perfection of his righteousness character. And the whole scheme of living existence on the worlds of space is centered in the divine purpose of elevating all will creatures to the high destiny of the experience of sharing the Father's paradise perfection. God is neither self-centered nor self-contained. He never ceases to bestow himself upon all self-conscious creatures of the vast universe of universes. Signed, with warmest greetings from New Zealand, signed Wendy. Very nice. Thank you, Wendy.
Yes, thank you, Wendy, because it's the essence behind our ascent careers, that relationship, the idea of coming to know him. You know, the apostles at one time declared that they might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. They're talking about Jesus Christ. And then being conformed unto his image. So this is an extreme ambition and one in which, if, you know, not carefully approached, may absolutely cause a person to actually truly have fellowship with his sufferings. And these are many times real situations that are happening right now on planet. In the Middle East is one of the areas in which they are, you know, beheading Christians. They are just thinking they're doing God a favor in the persecution. They do not know him. And that's the problem, because this is one of the challenges that I went with when I had actually gone through maybe about 40 days of fasting and prayer, not a supernatural fast, just a fast to keep away from just normal meals and basically just like cracker and water kind of an idea. And at the end of this, the challenge was I met with Jesus Christ, who approached me not as someone I had known, or a glorious Christ, Jesus, but as a human, and he looked like a poor hippie with his long hair, and like somebody beat on him really bad. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's a dirty old hippie. No, really, that's the first thought that went into my mind as I looked at him. What is dirty old hippie doing here? And I walked up, and then he told me things like, Michael, do you know who I am? And I said, as soon as he mentioned my name, every part of the contact of his personality rang true, and I realized, this is Jesus Christ I'm talking with. And I says, yes, I know you. And he went through a short interview and of where my destiny would lie. And I realized that it was his purpose. And I said, because you want me there. And then he said, yes. And then along the line somewhere, right around there, I believe, I'd say, I know you are the Christ. In fact, I said that, and I said, I would die for you. And he looked at me a little sad. And his eyes, which were looking straight at me at the time, looked down a bit. And he began to walk back as if, you know, he was in a spotlight, and he walked back away from the spotlight, and he, you know, into the dark. And then he was walking back. He turned his back on me and walked back that way. And it was like a real sinking feeling, like, what did I say that was wrong? And another voice, another person basically asked a simple question, do you know who that was? I said, of course, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is my Lord and my Savior. Then he came right back into the spotlight, turned around, his eyes upon me really wide. Remember, he was looking at me really wide. His big smile on his face. Yeah, the biggest smile on his face. And his hands were rose up. All his bruise marks and his wounds were all disappeared. And it became, it was like, whoa. And he didn't say anymore. That was his response. He doesn't have to use words. And he backed up, backwards, looking at me the whole way as he walked backwards, and the vision ended, the experience ended. It was a interactive, very interactive reality. It's one of the tests that every mortal has to go through in the ascension experience, which would be to identify the universe creator. Identify in this universe where we're at is be able to recognize Jesus Christ. Even the apostles had to go through it, because when he ascended, he didn't ascend with the exact same appearance of Jesus Christ that they knew, the man, Jesus Christ. They knew him by personality, by his experience, by that touch within their soul that said, oh, this is the Lord. And this is something that everyone needs to go through into identifying that relationship, that bonding has to take place. And that bonding that brings that greater reality. And I found that people go through that relationship, not necessarily just as Christians, but it can be in the rainforest, never having ever, you know, with these primitive tribes, they discover the same truth, the same being, the same personality through worship, through being connected, you know, having that. Maybe they don't technologically, you know, hooked up, but they are hooked up and connected. And when they discovered that, it was amazing how these people absolutely knew, oh, we know who that is. We see him in our visions. And, you know, they show them a little video playing, and they're not at all what you might say, astonished at technology in terms of being supernatural. They just realize that it's some kind of gizmo. And they have that level of balance, that they can be creatures on the same ascent process. Now, when I go to the other extreme and you look at within the scientist realm, these are just people, curious, but they have with them the gifts of perhaps being very good mathematicians, also good grant writers, and you get funding for huge projects. And they're playing with massive toys of exploration because there's this continual need to understand the greater. But you got to balance the two. And we as individual, pure individual, is able to balance our walk in this realm of reality to be capable of ascending to all seven circles of divine attainment. One of the things that Christ was talking about was a great reward there is for you in heaven. You know, if you are, you know, let's say, go through persecution for my name's sake, for trying to ask questions like, you ever wonder what the realm of purpose of life is about? You go through an experience of a kind of persecution, they give you that final look. Why do you ask that for? You think you know something more than me? Or what do I care about that? And you get this because it's a kind of pushing off. But it's, I get that from people who, like I said, who recently went to explore the level in which their ministry is. And it's, they go right up to a certain level and they will not go beyond it. Although that level is good, I'm not saying it's in the incorrect direction, but there's so much more to grow into. People, they see their, are many times troubled in their lives. They go to church because they have trouble in their lives, and they look at, you know, the divine relationship is a great helper and a friend. But this is more. There's just so much more to the idea that you don't just approach divinity for helping you in terms of a time of need, but he's always there. But when it comes down to that point of finding yourself always having that heightened relationship, that heightened celestial knowledge for every situation, is such a great advantage, and an advantage that we're supposed to grow into. We're not supposed to stay, you might say, you know, backwards, but grow forwards into it. And when we do stretch ourselves and do move into these realms where we get challenged for it, we get put down for it, or we get weird looks for it, there is a greater reward because there's a recognition, he was talking about, of your level of maturity. Not only a level of loyalty, but now there's a level of maturity of knowledge and of wisdom. And because you have that maturity of knowledge and of wisdom and a relational understanding, the ability to share, you're also more mature within the realm of development and in terms of a higher level of being. And these, you know, they're literally, the Hiranyaka book talks about seven mansion worlds of development. And how some people may skip through a few of them, having a minimum of, let's say, 10 days in each world, and skip through them really quickly. Others are stalled here or there because of something that didn't develop within themselves necessary for heightened attainment. And then there's those who skip completely all the development within the mansion worlds, or within the levels of mansion world development. And when they skip through these, they're literally sun-seized because of a relational ability. And when they get seized, they are exposed to a greater revelation and understanding. And then they got to go back and share it with those who need help. And in a sense, that is where I am, in a sense, kind of trying to come back, put some traction onto the ground. And yet I do get saddened because some people won't want to listen. I mean, you know, they believe the Bible literally. Everything is absolutely literal. A 7-day, 24-hour day level of creation, you know, that everything is absolute, not figurative. And it's such a hard thing, because that is also a point of suffering, you might say, that we got to go through. But this challenge only draws us even closer to the divine experience. And this draw inward to the divine actually pulls us into a realm. It pulls us into a realm of greater knowledge and greater exploration. And it's never ending. That is one of the wonderful things about our celestial walk. It's never ending. People end up in some kinds of ruts in their life where they may, for one reason or another, lose their dream. And they're there kind of moping around and maybe not wanting to live anymore. And different challenges come up. But if you make this a set journey with this goal in mind of divine ascension and divine attainment, divinity attainment, understanding that you got to know Him and know Him for what He is about, which is about life and not about death. And that's where I went wrong. To die for Him is automatic. We'd be born, we'll die. It doesn't mean a thing. The message is living life with that whole experience of divine ascent and embrace in mind, and building a grander relationship. Because it doesn't necessarily matter about different mortals of different planets, because I met them. And there are others who are curious. They're wondering, what makes us so special? What makes the human race so special? Look at them. Filling up a planet, clogging it up, you know. 7 billion of them running around. They know that you can overcrowd their plant, their house, you know, but actually there are all kinds of curious things going on. Recently there's been more and more sightings of unique vehicles and unique UFOs. I think it was within this month, or was it last month, there was a sighting, pretty good sighting of a cube. It's on YouTube. And go look at it. There are more. And they go, as I said, when they start increasing and increasing and increasing in sighting, they'll come to a point where there'll be the grand revealing, because there are more and more who are coming here sort of called, in a sense, very much like how people, I get called, or I understand where that empty parking spot is going to be, or why I have to drive down and go into this gulch to find this vehicle that's broken down, and the owner is wondering how he's going to, you know, get going. And all of this is all part of the greater revealing that is in play right now. But I'll give Curtis this link to this YouTube, which is interesting. It's another realm of revealing, a gigantic block floating in the sky. it's like a cube. It's almost like somebody took a big square building and floated it out into the sky. But it had unique formations, markings on it, ways of, anyway, moving about, leaving tracks in the clouds. But anyway, there's some things going on over there. Anyway,
George Filer had this one big, huge sphere in the back of someone's yard.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was two-thirds the size of his house. And it was just floating there. It was one of the photographs. I wanted to call George and ask him about it, but there are so many UFOs that he reports upon.
They're getting more, it was revealed to me years ago that they would increasing to a point of crescendo, you might say. That point of crescendo would be when they're just like, okay, you don't have to be, you know, coming incognito anymore. You can just show yourself, and that would be a very special time. I think we're approaching it. I haven't gotten any information about the exact day or hour of it, but it's coming to that point.
A lot of people say they never even saw it, but when they put their photographs in their computer to look at the sky or look at whatever they were filming, there is something in the sky they didn't see when they took the photograph. Maybe the camera's the only one who saw it. Just there for an instant.
Yeah. But this one that I noticed on YouTube was quite good. Yeah.
Cute. Okay. I'll post it on the listen page.
Okay.
Next to, or just above Wendy's email she sent in.
Yeah. Well, I believe that could be a wonderful topic. I'd like to hear Shahadun comment on about. Maybe we ate up too much time already.
But, you mean comment about this cube?
No, about Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's?
Yeah. Because... Yeah. How much time have we recorded?
Oh, 49 minutes.
Oh, that's good. Well, let me see if I can see what our friend the Shahruns are busy over this evening. Oh, my son. This is your son, Jik Shahadun.
Hello,
you've Tim. Done. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I've already heard the request, and it is good. The whole thing evolves around a very good and wonderful thing to try to embrace. The ideal of it is, even we continue in this continual wonder and splendor of the all-in-all of the divine nature. This is the one most wonderful thing that we do in common. And exploring that realm is a joy for us. But more of a joy as it is to see and hear and touch with your hearts that your likeness and nature is not far away from us. We have journeyed the mortal path and ascended past and matured through the various levels of attaining the divine spiritual nature to the point of becoming true fanelators and assigned to the realm of returning and helping. And such we do right now. I know the journey that you go through many times confuses you. And that confusion is built upon counteracting points of view. Each point of view that you take is a perspective that has its limits, a viewpoint. And from the mortal realm, your viewpoint is even more limited. You see, with higher realm vision, you can see a little more into the future. You can see a little more to the sides. You can touch a little more into the realm of where the pressures of society, the very life problems of others are operating. These things are all part of your life challenge. And when you are able to fully blend them with the understanding and entertain not the idea that you are limited, instead that you have with the attainment of just the concept of participating and working with the elements that make the universal one and all. You might say, simplistically, God. You participate in one aspect or another of that nature. It does not necessarily have to be only in thought or in his mind, but in his actual implementation of the universe. This is where your participation in universe, the universal realms, are so joyous and fulfilling, is that when you start and move in the realm of working with his creative will, aligned to his creative will, there is great joy and challenge. In this world, in realms in which his creative will has desire to make himself real within the lives and hearts of many, sometimes gets stifled through the contrivances of the divisive techniques of life . These techniques many times are economic, meaning having to do with the limitations that are held within your realm, limitations of supply, limitations of time, limitations of choice. when you filter all these limitations down to having consult from the divine realm, you have more of a divine perspective, more of a divine understanding in even the complexities of functioning within a realm of the contrived techniques of control within society. You'll be able to navigate yourself through in a way in which allows for even a much closer relationship, not only with the divine, but with the brethren that you will be able to find. You see, not all of you are on the same wavelength, or you might say, wave of love. But you will find these who are close to you in nature. Kindred as kin, as relational individuals. And from that point, you build understanding and continue forward. But giving no one any problem with their level, only by their own hunger can they be fed. Only by their own thirst will they be able to drink in. But once it is recognized, you have been prepared in your own way, through your own divine relationship, to share in a way that is most palatable and enjoyable. And as you continue forward, splendid ways in which you will be able to allow forward the very free-flowing energy of the mind of Him that is in all of us, to compose, in your own words, the divine heart and mind. And this is our purpose. This is your purpose. It is not something that you complete and move away from. No, it is a continual, ongoing, continual movement through life. Do not think of yourselves again as having the limits. The limits are trying to give you the limits. But we are trying to tell you there is an unlimited nature. You know, in the realm of sudden inspiration is perhaps the limits of time. In other words, what could have taken many, many, many days and years to discover can be given to you in an instant of inspiration. And so you have not the limits of time, but only limited yourself if you do not hold to the divine nature. If you give the divine nature no place, then how can He live in you? You see, He is already in you, but you cannot place limits. Once you do not, you find a whole realm of inspiration, limits of the unlimited, no limits. How can that be? You say. How can that be? You measure for yourself within the realm of logic the limits and event horizons of your imagination. But do not put these limits and event horizons about the first source and center who opens the gateway through the unknowable by the realm of knowing a little at a time. And when you do, more and more will open. This is the wonderful journey. This is the one that never ends. Because as you know more, there is just a little more. And always there is just a little more. And with that, such a great thing happens. The discovery of one flow of an electron brought forth a great expanse of all your modern ages of computers and communication devices. Just that, and the illumination of a planet. The same goes forward with one particle, yourself, bounding in your soul between your divine embrace, between yourself and actually your first source, friend, has no limits. Once binding together, a continually growing expanse. You will not explode in a destructive manner where there be too much. Such explosiveness of knowledge or experience is detrimental to you. Therefore, it be only given to you at a level at which you are ready to receive. Such is the case of your development. So do not fear trying to know Him to the point of suffering too far. No, it will not be put to you to a point where you expand to a point of explosion and self-destruction. No, it's not that at all. It's the other way around. It is growth and life. Aye. Theatractic Shaharun. Give you light and energy for life. Believe in Him even as He believes in you. Because He, the first, is also your last. You are complete in Him. You are made complete in His circle of embrace. And you will know Him more and more. And so He will know you more and more. This is the very embrace in a simple sense. All life dimension, all life places, all situations, all blend together. If you have that so perfect mind in you, operating in a partnered embrace, so close, yet distance means nothing. Light in life. Farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. Thank you for coming on. It's wonderful having you and hearing what you have to say. So close and yet distance means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, distance.
I thought he was going to say. I thought he wanted to, you know, so close yet so far away or something like that. The distance means nothing.
Yeah, distance means nothing.
I wonder where he is right now. But, you know, if he's just at Saturn, the New Jerusalem, that's still pretty far.
You mean where he is in the New Jerusalem?
Or know where he is, because he doesn't necessarily have to stay there. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, it operates like a spaceport, you know, like we got airports. Mm-hmm. It's a, like a spaceport too, right? We know that because he actually got some of the craft going through that donut of light, yeah, which means they've gone to someplace. We got pictures of that. So, mm-hmm. Tell me right here. It's neat that you could actually visit paradise and, you know, go back and forth to different places and stay in contact.
It's marvelous he has stayed in contact with you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his feelings are mutual also.
Yeah. But that is an advantage of having been, you know, kind of like tied together. But it's not very different, you might say, from that of being tied together with your thought adjuster, your divine relationship, your divine, which is talking about, you know.
Okay. As he said, this is a wonderful journey.
Yeah.
A wonderful journey that we need to enjoy the trip.
Yeah.
Not just getting there.
Yeah, it's a developmental point of not just a free ride. You know, it's not a free ride. There's a point of purpose in it. And if we think of life as no purpose, then we just wander around, yeah?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I like when Wendy asks friends those questions, those tough questions they have to think of what's going on. People don't want to think.
Yeah, and just... Maybe the TV has some answers for me. And mm-hmm. A lot of times it doesn't.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. But they control a lot of people with those televisions, those videos,
yeah.
And the programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we could say aloha until next week.
Okay.
You want to do that?
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Send you the link to that interesting cube, alien cube UFO. It's over Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah.
Lucky Texans.
Lucky Texans. Yeah. The guy was actually able to take pictures of it. Others confirmed that they took photographs. So there are more than one person.
Nice. Well, I'll take a look when you send it, and I'll post it on the listen page.
Okay. Aloha.
All right. Aloha, Michael.